Astronomers believe that all the matter in the universe was once contained in one place, bound by mysterious forces of incredible strength. Some of this matter formed our world, where its appearance is constantly changing. Inside you could be atoms from Saturn, or the Taj Mahal, or Abraham Lincoln. But what keeps our world from coming apart? What holds atoms together? Deep inside atoms, the tiniest particles of all are called quarks, and many scientists believe they hold the key to important secrets of our universe.
For ages, we've been breaking the universe down into smaller and smaller bits.
Today we believe that quarks may be the ultimate building blocks of matter.
The classic picture of the atom shows electrons in orbit around a nucleus. But today, the picture has become more refined. We now know that the protons and neutrons that make up the nucleus are themselves like miniature atoms, made of even smaller particles called quarks.
There's something spectacularly different happening with the quarks.
Quarks were first detected in 1968. From the beginning, researchers were puzzled by their behavior.
They are bound to each other in their orbits by forces that are irresistibly strong.
Quarks are particles that happen to have a special force attached to them that doesn't let them escape.
We call it the strong force.
They always stay hidden inside the nucleus of an atom.
What was this mysterious strong force unlike any the world had ever seen? To find out, scientists needed a new tool, a unique instrument to measure and study quarks and the strange forces called gluons that bind them together. The instrument they created is called a continuous electron beam accelerator, and its home is the Thomas Jefferson National Accelerator Facility in Newport News, Virginia. Jefferson Lab, or JLab, is a $600 million nuclear physics research complex. It was funded by the U.S. Department of Energy to study the behavior of quarks.
To get in there and break up the nucleus, to get inside, to mess around in there to see what the quarks are doing, you need a huge machine. And that's what Jefferson Lab is, a huge machine for peering into the nucleus.
The electron accelerator at the core of JLab is one of the most powerful microscopes in the world. It is an assembly of high-tech hardware and electronics stretching through an underground tunnel nearly a mile around. The accelerator runs continuously, 24 hours a day. More than 500 staff members work at JLab. An additional 1,000 scientists and students come here regularly from all over the globe, conducting research that can't be performed anywhere else. They use the massive electron accelerator to probe the smallest fragments of our world and discover what secrets lie within.
The goal of the lab is to really answer questions that even my six-year-old will ask. What is everything made of? How does it stick together?
Powerful electron microscopes let today's scientists see individual atoms of matter. Atoms are tiny. A single piece of tinfoil is 250,000 atoms thick. But as small as atoms are, quarks are 100 million times smaller. To see them, you need an accelerator.
The way that we see things is light comes down from some light source, bounces off an object, and bounces into our eyeballs. What we do here at Jefferson Lab now, we want to look into a nucleus. We use electrons instead of photons. The source is the electron accelerator. And we send the electrons into the nucleus, let them bounce off, and then build big detector systems to sort of see what's going on inside the nucleus.
The whole point of accelerators is to make particles go very, very fast, and then to smash them into other things and to see what comes out at the other end.
Basically, it's an attempt to probe. And it's just an extension of what small kids do. They don't know how something works, they take it, they poke it with a finger. And, I mean, without interacting with something you never learn what it is.
It's not easy to hit the nucleus of an atom. If the nucleus were as big as your fist, the circling electrons would be more than a mile away. Atoms are mostly empty space, so you have to fire billions of electrons at enormous speed for just one to hit the nucleus.
We need lots of electrons because the nuclei are so small that you're liable to miss if you just send a few electrons in. You've got to have a steady stream, lots of electrons.
The electron beam begins here in a device called the injector. Three streams of electrons are wound together into a continuous strand the size of a human hair to begin their journey around the racetrack of the accelerator. They'll travel 5 miles in 30 millionths of a second and accelerate from a standing start to nearly the speed of light. The electrons go faster by surfing on waves of electrical energy. The strangely shaped cavities that make these waves are made of a special metal called niobium. When electrons travel through most metals, the metal offers resistance. But niobium is a superconductor. In extreme cold, it loses nearly all resistance to electric current. Hundreds of these cavities line the straightaways of the accelerator oval. They're chilled inside giant thermos bottles called cryomodules. Since they generate no heat, they can run continuously, and they use far less power than older machines. Superconducting technology makes JLab the most efficient particle accelerator in the world. After 5 stimulating laps, the electrons are routed to one of 3 giant underground halls where the beam will smash into its target.
A target is whatever you want to investigate. The simplest example of a target would be a piece of solid material loaded in a little holder and fired the electron beam at it.
The target chambers are coupled to the massive detectors that will measure the interaction between the electrons and the quarks. In 2 of the halls, spectrometers the size of houses measure particles flying off at 2 angles simultaneously. In a 3rd, a giant spherical detector can track particles flying in almost all directions at once.
They are artificial eyes that instead of receiving light, they receive electrons and other particles. Then particles arrive in the detectors that we've built out there. The result is an electrical pulse which goes down cables and is collected in a computer and reconstructed into an image.
Powerful computers scour the vast amounts of data produced by each experiment, looking for patterns in the particles scattered by the electron beam. And, bit by bit, scientists are unlocking the secrets of the fundamental forces that govern our universe.
The force fields that are involved here are 1,000 times stronger than even nuclear energies. The force fields are immensely strong and actually account for most of the mass of the universe.
You have quarks which are bound by the strong force, and now you try to pull them apart. A phenomenon happens. It will actually snap. It will create another quark pair.
It's the famous E equals MC squared. What that tells you is that energy is mass. The E and M are two faces of the same thing. So if you concentrate enough energy, new kinds of matter can be formed.
New forces, new sources of power, creating matter and antimatter from pure energy. The research at Jefferson Lab has profound implications for our future. But the work is just beginning as lab scientists continue to probe the basic building blocks of nature. Nuclear research has always produced spin-offs, new technologies with an immediate impact on society. This is a free electron laser at work. It generates the most powerful and controllable light ever produced, and it can cut or shape virtually any material. Built into an underground chamber on the Jefferson Lab campus, this extraordinary laser came from the same superconducting technology that powers the JLab electron accelerator.
We could make the most powerful tunable laser by using the same electron beam technology.
Fred Dilla built his first laser when he was 13 years old. Today, he runs the Jefferson Lab laser program.
Most lasers that everyone has looked at generates red light. You kind of wonder, does anyone know how to make laser light any other color? And this laser allows you to tune its color precisely to the most useful color for that particular process.
The power and tunability of the free electron laser has opened the door to new industrial processes and research only dreamed of 10 years ago.
With our laser, there's so much more power available with this technology than anything that you can get from anywhere else. You can process artificial fabric like nylon. You can make it feel like suede, wool, cotton. You take a car, process all the metal on the car. It now becomes more corrosion resistant. We can cut steel faster than just about any other laser around. Cutting ceramics, maybe we can make new kinds of materials. And all you've done is shine this light on. It's almost like waving a wand.
The free electron laser is just one of the many areas of research underway at Jefferson Lab.
Some of the technology we have to develop to do our basic research have applications somewhere else. I mean, that's the most pleasant situation.
Breakthroughs in medical imaging, ultra-high vacuum technology, and cryogenics have all resulted directly from Jefferson Lab technologies. And the lab is partnering with industry and university researchers to pinpoint future scientific and industrial applications. The importance of science in our society is increasing, and with it, the need for more scientists.
We have a big responsibility to help educate the next generation of scientists and engineers for the nation.
Tomorrow's scientists are growing up today, so Jefferson Lab sponsors an innovative education program for middle school children called BEAMS.
Let's go ahead and fill.
BEAMS stands for Becoming Enthusiastic About Math, Science, and Technology. The BEAMS program allows the students the opportunity to expand their knowledge in those areas, math, science, and technology, and also gives them hands-on applications. It makes it more realistic, makes it more real life for them.
Going from a liquid to a gas.
Classes of sixth graders spend a week at the lab. Lab scientists teach the classes, sharing their knowledge and their passion for exploration.
This makes sense to me.
Whenever the teachers are enthusiastic about what they're doing, you can see it filtered directly down to the students. It's a tremendous program. It's become an integral part of our curriculum.
27, so keep on going. Oh, you know what this one's getting?
Science has an enormous impact on our society. Fuels economic growth and provides for the common defense. But should the federal government pay for pure scientific research, despite a payoff that could be decades away? The scientists say yes.
We've got one world to live in. This is it. And we would be crazy not to try to understand how that world works.
Basic research is indeed the foundation of our technology, and therefore the foundation of our standard of living.
The federal government is responsible for making the economy of this country work.
Science is an excellent investment for a nation.
Throughout the 20th century, the electron and its applications dominated technology and revolutionized human society. Perhaps the 21st century will be dominated by the quark and the remarkable forces that hold and shape the atomic nucleus. And by studying the very small, we can also learn about the very large, our universe, and all that it contains. For Jefferson Lab, the journey has just begun.